Before we get started, we wanted to take a minute and address last episode. We got some super respectful and kind feedback. And yes, and we want you guys to know that, we got told probably a year ago at this point that you should use died by suicide rather than committed suicide to take away the stigma. And we quickly made that adjustment and do that forever. We aren't experts in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two, and I want to say both of these, really great emails about us covering a transgender person. And both of them made pretty similar points. One was talking about their birth name. Now, I don't think either of us realized that you shouldn't do that.
Yes. So I have heard about a birth name being considered a dead name before. I hadn't known that it was not maybe the, for lack of better words, the respectful or correct thing to do. So I can't say I hadn't heard of it, but someone just gave us a little bit more education on it.
And we wanted to pass that along to y'all, because we think this is important. Yeah. Second of all, apparently, and this is probably both of our faults, we said that she hadn't gotten to surgeries yet, and we don't know if she actually wanted to have surgery or if she considered herself transitioned or whatever it might be. Go ahead. I see you nodding.
No, I'm agreeing with you, and it's so easy to make assumptions what people are thinking and where they're at, but we just got some really great feedback in trying to be more mindful about that and the best ways to do it. And like I said, and want to repeat, like, it was super respectful and totally a learning moment, and we want to pass it on to you, but we also want to say that we're learning, and we heard you, and we're going to do better all the time.
Right, and I don't want to sort of rehash the whole episode, but I want the two of you especially that reached out, we appreciate that feedback. We appreciate the explanation and the kind words. And like Amy just said, we're always striving to do better. So that's all we can say we're going to do. We never meant for anything, and we never mean for anything to be disrespectful or any of that. And you know, we'd much rather you email us and tell us what you're hearing rather than, you know, blast us on social media.
Agreed.
But know that we're trying. Knowing that we're trying. But let's get to the episode for today.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. So you've been talking about this case for days. That's an understatement.
Yes. So I want you to know I had a case all prepped for today. Then someone DM'd us on Instagram and suggested this case. And I immediately thought it was a different case that we had already covered. And I was like, oh, well, did you mean this one? And she was like, no, Google it. Amy, this case is Brandon Lawson meets Maura Murray meets Brianna Maitland meets Bryce LaPisa. Like, it's everything.
That has me, my head spinning, but it's got to be like, you've got to be serious about it. Guys, she is the one that's doing the case, and she kept asking to record earlier and earlier. Like, are you free tonight? Are you free tonight?
Yes. I was like, are you ready? I'm ready right now. And I feel like at 82 episodes in, I should stop asking, but how the heck does someone vanish? But here we are.
Well, I think that's exactly why they're so captivating, right? Because, my goodness, how can one person go from being connected to people, being in locations a lot of the times that they're, like, super familiar with. And then there's absolutely nothing. Like, they literally went to another dimension or something, and they've left nothing behind. It's mind-boggling, and I don't think it ever stops being mind-boggling. And the fact that it could happen to any one of us, I mean, obviously, I hope that it never does happen to you, myself, or any of us listening. But it's really that much.
Well, for the record, I will never leave my life. So if I go missing, something happened.
Right. Well, we know to say that now, but.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about Brandon Swanson. He was born in January of 1989. So he's like my sister's age, a little bit younger than us. And there's not a whole lot of backstory, except for he grew up in Marshall, Minnesota. He had a great relationship with his parents, a large friend group, and was super likable. He had a seemingly good high school experience. He worked part-time in a grocery store for 4 years. He graduated in 2007 and enrolled in a wind turbine program at Minnesota West Community and Technical College.
So he's on the cusp of technology.
Yes. Now, Brandon was legally blind in one eye and wore glasses. That did not seem to stop him in any way, shape, or form. And his plan was, after a year at community college, he was going to transfer to Iowa Western College to do a 4-year program in wind turbine.
Okay.
Okay. So I do want to say at this point, maps are pretty important to this case. So I'm going to put them on our socials.
Oh, I see you sending me stuff right now, too.
I just did send you a map. Yes. You don't have to look at it right this second, but when we're talking about locations and routes, none of it made sense to me until I drew it out in a map. Okay?
I gotcha, and I appreciate it. Thank you for doing all the work for me.
Hey, no problem. All right, so picture this. It's the last day of classes of freshman year. It's early May, which means even if it's not warm, there's sunshine. And you know the feeling of, like, ready for summer is, like, buzzing.
There's no way to capture that in your adult life, that feeling.
No, there isn't.
It's equivalent to, like, the gate being left open and a dog being able to run free.
Yes. And Brandon knew he wasn't going back to this college in the fall, and he wanted to celebrate the year ending with his friends. Now, it sounds like Brandon was going to attend more than one party this evening. And so we're the evening of May 13th. So Brandon heads out to a small party in his hometown in Lind. And it sounds like it started between 8 and 9. And there was nothing really notable at this party. It wasn't like a bender wild party in a field. So he's at this small party, and now I want to mention here that Brandon's friends reported that they thought he had had at least one beer, but no one was sure. And I chalked this up to no one's counting how many beers their friends are having, if they're having beers at all.
I don't even know how one would do that.
Exactly. So around 10:30 p.m., Brandon leaves this party to go to a different party out near where his college is.
Okay.
And his mission to go to this party is to say goodbye to another friend who's attending a different school in the fall. People commented here that Brandon has had at least one shot of alcohol. But again, it's not known if he's consumed more than that. Same idea. No one was counting.
Right.
Now, Brandon didn't stay for a super long time at this party, but he was there long enough that multiple people remember him being there and chatting with him briefly.
Okay.
Everyone at the party that did talk to him said he was in good spirits. He wasn't, like, drunk or impaired, but he was drinking.
So we know that he was drinking and he could have certainly been responsible about it, but there's really no way to know how many he had.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, here is the first issue. You've been to a party at the age of 19, I assume. No one really remembers what time he left.
I mean, I 100% believe it. No one's usually looking at the clock. And then sometimes you look up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's 1 a.m.
Exactly. So most people he spoke to said that he left just after midnight. However, some people say they saw him between 1 and 1:30.
Wow, that's a difference.
Exactly. It's an hour. Possibly an hour and 15 minutes or so.
Which matters not usually in the scheme of, like, when you're telling your friends what time you left a party, but when you're trying to put together a timeline, you know that a lot can happen in an hour.
Exactly. Brandon decides to take off for home. Okay.
Got it.
Now, he doesn't take the main road. He decides to take back roads and side roads. And I struggle with this because that's me, right? We went to school in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, let's just call it what it was.
Yes.
I could have taken a main highway almost the whole way out of where we went to another highway and then taken that. I never went that route. I always took the back road.
Right. My head, unfortunately, goes to, if you're driving a little bit impaired, maybe you're trying to evade possible law enforcement?
That's the next sentence I wrote. It is alluded that if he was drinking, he did this because he was less likely to get pulled over.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I've heard people leaving parties say, like, I'm just gonna, you know, take the back roads home.
Exactly. So here's the deal. This could have happened at anywhere from 12 to 1:30, right?
Yeah.
Like this departure. It's about half an hour from his house. Some say 45 minutes. So either way, that's what we'll go with 45 minutes. At 1:54, Brandon calls his dad, Brian.
Right.
Says, hey, I accidentally drove my car into a ditch. I'm fine. The car is fine. I just can't drive it. It's stuck in a ditch.
I would still be flipping out if I was a parent.
Both of his parents get out of bed, get in their truck to go get him.
I mean, I don't mean it to say like I'd be mad. Maybe I would be. But when I say flipping out, I would still be so worried. Like,
oh, 100%. Now, he tells them he's in Lynde, Minnesota, or just outside of Lynde, which is about 10 minutes from their house. Again, it's back roads. It's a remote area. His parents drive out to get him. Now, they stay on the phone with him the whole time. When they get close, his mom tells Brandon, hey, flash your lights and we'll flash ours so we can, like, start looking for each other.
Good idea.
Right? Because, right. At one point, his mom is saying, like, we're flashing our lights, we're flashing our lights. And Brandon says, don't you see me? And he's so frustrated that he hangs up on his mom.
No way.
Because they can't find him. Like, I'm sure it's a blind leading the blind a little bit. Like, I'm on a side road. And his parents are like, okay, well, we need more, a landmark. And he's like, it's a freaking tree. You know, like, I feel like it's got to be the most frustrating situation.
I do. So what you're saying is they each see each other's lights or one sees the other's lights?
No, they couldn't see each other. They're flashing to be like, do you see me? Do you see me?
Oh, okay. I thought one.
And they're just not seeing each other.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So his mom quickly calls him back and he apologizes for hanging up, which my parents would have murdered me.
Perhaps so, yeah.
Either way, he's frustrated. He says, you know what? Forget it. I'm leaving my car. He's like, I can see lights in the distance. I'm just going to walk to this tavern in Lynde. Meet me there.
Just any old tavern? Like,
well, it's a specific one in a small town. He's like, I know where it is. So his dad's like, all right.
There can't be too many of them. It would be easy.
Right.
Gotcha.
Here it sounds like Brandon's dad drops his mom off at home. And he heads to this tavern. Now, the whole drive there, Brandon and his dad engage in a pretty long conversation. It seems to be about, Brandon is describing, like, I can see lights. I'm walking on a gravel road. He has said, oh, another fence. I have to jump over it. And he's telling his dad all these things about, like, where he is. Walking through basically farmland toward the lights.
Yeah.
But they're also having a normal conversation, too. Just about, like, stupid stuff. Nothing of importance. Just, you know, I went to a party. I did this.
Yeah. How was the last day of school? You feeling ready for college or ready for the next step in life?
Exactly. Well, this call lasts 47-minute mark.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm going to use a curse word here, but I'm going to quote. So he's talking to his dad. He's walking. His dad's driving. And at the 47-minute mark, Brandon yells, oh, shit. And the call ends. His dad tries to call him back numerous times. The phone rings and rings and rings. Until the next morning when it just goes straight to voicemail.
Seriously? What did his dad do? I mean, he's calling him back, obviously, but, like, you're like, the next morning it goes to voicemail, so what does he do? He's just calling him back and back and back?
No, he actually reaches out to some of Brandon's friends and says, will you get in your car and drive to see if we can find him, right? These back roads.
Oh my gosh, are some of them even, like, sober?
I get the impression they were, like, that it was a...
Okay, good.
They search all night on dirt roads in farmland. Now, at 6:30 in the morning, his mom says, I can't take this anymore. I'm calling the police.
I just need to know, like, where is the car? Like, how did this happen? I'm so frustrated.
I'm about to get there. But she calls the police, and the police basically say, he's a 19-year-old guy. He can stay out all night if he wants to.
No, that's not it, officer.
And one remark really, like, resonated with his mom. The officer looked at her and said, he has a right to go missing if he wants to. He's an adult.
But he was in the middle of a conversation with his dad.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to matter. I mean, I agree with you. However, midday or so hours later, police officers join a search. They come up with nothing. They dispatch the sheriffs countryside wide. And I'm going to read some quotes from his dad, Brian. He says, we got in the pickup to go to the spot where he knew he was. He thought he knew exactly where his son was about 10 minutes from their home in Marshall. He was absolutely positive he knew where he was, Brian Swanson said. Small reminder here again, he had been drinking, but his family and friends said he seemed normal and intoxicated. I mean, normal and not intoxicated. So his dad's like, he was adamant he knew where he was. He gave him, we just can't find him. So police do the next best thing. Let's get a ping on his cell phone.
Great. Okay, now we're talking.
Okay. Do you want to know what they find out?
Well, evidently it's going to be nothing because you've set me up right now.
No, they did find something out.
Oh, okay.
The reason they couldn't find him was because he was 25 miles away from where he said he was.
Wait a minute. 25 miles. How far? Wait a minute. He's like a half hour-ish? Am I figuring that?
At least. Yep.
Half hour-ish?
The half hour of highway. I mean, 25. If your speed limit's 30, he's an hour.
So if he's on back roads.
So the calls he made to his parents were happened from a city near called Taunton, which is along State Highway 68. It's on the road that is headed back from the party he was going at, but it's 25 miles from where he was.
I'm actually devastated for him and his parents because they didn't have a shot in hell of finding each
other. Exactly. Now, here's the thing. It makes sense that he would be on this road, right? Because it's on the route from the party to go home.
Okay.
However, he had gotten a car accident at 1:55, and it's only about 10 to 15 minutes from the party. So if he left at 1:30, okay, fine, we can buffer of 10 minutes. if he left at 12, where is that hour and a half?
Right.
Bryce LaPizza, right? Here we go.
So it totally reminds me of Bryce, but the timeline there, I just don't trust.
Agreed. So I'm just going to keep going. But now police have a place to look, right? Like, we know where his cell phone pinged. So they take off toward this town, Taunton. Didn't take long, they find the car. It's abandoned in a ditch off a gravel road about a mile north of Highway 68. Now, his car is found on a border to a bunch of counties, which obviously law enforcement can't figure out whose turn it is to take care of things, but we'll get to that. There's no physical damage and no evidence of injury. It was just the vehicle was stuck.
Just like he said on the phone, pretty much.
Exactly. The sheriff said it's sort of a sharp incline, nothing major, but enough that a car would get hung up, so the wheels are too high off the ground to get to gain traction.
Okay.
So there's no keys and no phone in the car, but his glasses are in the car.
And he's legally blind in one eye, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of crucial.
So basically, law enforcement says, okay, he told his parents accurately what happened. The only thing he had wrong was his location.
All right.
So the search radius, they end up searching 122 square miles.
Wow.
They bring in search dogs. They bring ATVs. At one point, dogs led them to a riverbank. So they dragged the river more than once. They put gates in the river. They basically did everything they possibly can.
Sounds like it.
There's basically the law enforcement says they should have had a body or some evidence if Brandon had succumbed to elements. And he said, the sheriff says, I can't explain why clothing or belongings wouldn't surface. I can't explain why after searching for weeks, the dogs could not smell anything. Like the Memorial Day weekend, which is 2 weeks later, they had 40 volunteers to do ATV searches. Three human remain detection dogs searched the river. I mean, they really did do all of the things.
Yeah.
So his mom says, you know, people don't just vanish into thin air, but it sure seems like he did.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to give you another tip that I don't know how to fit this in, but it's an interesting fact. Brandon was added to VICAP. Which,
what's that?
I was just going to explain it.
Sorry.
You're
I'm
fine.
I'm so anxious.
I'm going to read you the definition directly from the FBI's website, okay? The Violent Crime Apprehension Program facilitates communication and coordination between law enforcement agencies that investigate, track, and apprehend violent serial offenders. VICAP maintains a nationwide data information center that collects, collates, and analyzes crimes of violence, i.e. homicide, attempts at homicide, missing persons, child abductions, sexual assaults, and unidentified deceased persons. Basically, what it does is it looks for similarities in victims to tie crimes together.
Ooh, I like that resource.
Yeah. Except for, does this suggest the police have evidence of foul play?
Oh. Well, I don't know. That's tough because it's like when you have nothing, are they just reaching?
Well, I can tell you that I've never heard of another missing person like that we've covered VICAP come into it.
That we know of?
That we know of. So Brandon's parents are still hurt and frustrated, not only by their son's disappearance, but his mom is really frustrated and angered by the law enforcement comment that, like, he can legally go missing. That's his right.
Yes.
So this is actually a side note, but they lobbied a state legislator to pass Brandon's law, which was passed in 2008, which is when this happened, which requires that police begin investigations of missing adults under 21 immediately, as well as older adults who are missing under suspicious circumstances. This is in Minnesota only, but I think it's fantastic.
It is, but why did they pick 21?
I would assume college age.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because tip, you
totally makes sense.
So that's really it. I want to say foul play has not been ruled out, but it has also been suggested he fell into the river near where his car is found, although there's been extensive searches and no body. But that's sort of it. In my opinion, there are only two valid theories.
All right.
So I guess I'm going to ask you first. What do you think happened? What's your gut?
I have two thoughts, and it's either that he was hit by a passing car and someone didn't want to get in trouble.
Literally, I know what you did last summer.
Well, it could have been, yeah, kind of. Or it could have been just one single person alone, just like Brandon. But I do have problems with that theory, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Or he was under the influence of something besides alcohol, that he would still be able to have a lucid conversation, but kind of lose his orientation and ability to get himself around.
Okay.
And then there's problems with that theory, too. But if you're asking me if I think that someone was, like, stalking him or following him and, I don't know, abduct him or kidnapped him, that I don't think is true.
Okay. Well, can we just rule out died by suicide and left his life?
Yes, because I think that the fact that he was in the middle of a conversation with his dad would be the most ridiculous time. Sorry if that sounds crass.
No, I agree with you 100%.
The most ridiculous time to do any of those two options.
Right, like, hey, I'm going to leave my life. I'm just going to go, oh, shit, hang up.
Right.
I agree with you 100%. So the theories fall into two camps. One is it was an accident. He was lost to the elements. He drowned in the river. He was intoxicated and whatever happened there. And then one is foul play. Foul play is split into two. One is someone hit him with a car, which is what you said. And one is, like, legitimately foul play, like he was a victim. Someone saw him on the side of the road and they grabbed him. Now, first, can you go to that map I sent you?
Sure. One moment.
Now, I labeled the places that he went.
Oh, nice. Nicely done. I appreciate this.
And again, I'll put this on our social media for you all.
Wow. I mean, I know it's a map and it could be zoomed out or zoomed in, but it just looks automatically pretty vast.
Yes. And if you look at the lower right-hand corner, it's his home and his party number one. And he says he was in the middle of the two of them. Except for there's no reason for him to be there. Because he left party number two and headed home, why would he be south of Marshall?
Right. But he could have been starting in the wrong direction anyway.
I guess.
I don't know why, but my head goes to maybe someone offered him some pot or something, and it could have been something like dust. Which he could have still had, like, a lucid conversation, but he could have hallucinated or lost his orientation.
Okay, so let's say that happens. What happened to him?
Well, like I said a few minutes ago, there were some problems with both of my theories. So if he had crashed his car and he had at least 47 minutes to walk, he would have probably been found in the searches because he probably just would have fallen or...
Was the oh shit him falling?
Well, see, that's where I have problems with that is because if he fell, it doesn't mean that the phone would have shut off or that it would have ended the call. It probably would have captured whatever happened. So it makes me wonder if whatever happened to him caused enough damage to the phone that it broke and turned off, or was it taken?
Well, if it was taken, then it has to be foul play and he was attacked, not hit by a car, not any of that.
Not necessarily. If he was hit by a car, they probably would have gathered him and all his belongings.
So you're telling me he was hit by a car and then yelled, oh, shit, when they took his phone?
No, I think that the oh, shit was like headlights coming towards him.
Then why did he hang up?
I don't know if it hung up or if the phone was damaged.
Well, I agree with you.
Or he could have hung up the phone because it was just a reflex to get out of the way. He was trying to focus on the task at hand, which was to save his life.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, the fact that the phone kept ringing that night and didn't shut off or stop ringing until the next morning confuses me. Because some people say...
That's true.
What if it was him falling in the river and he yelled, oh shit, and dropped his phone in the river? Okay, I hear you. That's actually, for me, that's a really valid theory, except for where is his body?
Well, if he fell in the river and the phone went with him, maybe it could have been submerged for a few minutes and kept the phone on. But there's no way that a phone submerged for hours would have just kept ringing. It would have died, no doubt.
Agreed. I agree with 100%. Now, I will tell you, police have made the following statement, like I've already said. The sheriff basically says, like, I want to say, not want to, it's a bad word, but I'm paraphrasing. He says, at the time the dogs indicated he may have been in the river, that they searched the premise of washed downstream. But investigators are not convinced he fell into the river. He should have been found in the river or downstream had he fallen in. And I'm going to quote this. The only thing that would have been is if someone was in the shadows and they got him that way. I can't say there wasn't someone else there, but I also can't find evidence of that. But I can't explain why his clothing and belongings wouldn't surface.
Well, I just want to add to that. So there's a river that runs through Connecticut called the Connecticut River.
What?
I know, shocker, right? And sadly, people do, there's several bridges that cross the Connecticut River, and people do jump into them, and some lose their lives. And you hear about it on the news, and it's very unfortunate, but you'll hear roughly a week later or something that a body has surfaced and they found it downstream, down by the shore or something along those lines. Almost, I would say, all the instances that were sure someone had gone into the river. I also want to add Lacey Peterson, for example. So she was missing and she was likely murdered. And then, you know, her body was put into the San Francisco Bay and her body resurfaced. My point in bringing up these instances is most of the time a body will resurface.
I was going to say your favorite case because of me, the Lake Elkhony murders. Shirley surfaced.
Right. Yes.
And if you guys don't know that one, it's on Patreon.
And I'm not trying to talk about all these crass cases and the things that happened to these poor people for no reason. But I'm just saying that I don't believe that this kid, if he went in the river or this whatever it was, the lake, the river.
River, yep.
That he wouldn't have surfaced somewhere.
The Yellow Medicine River.
Okay. Well, I believe that most likely would have happened. Not to mention that they dragged it and they did all the searches, all the things.
Okay. Then where is he?
I think that, to me, it doesn't make sense that, like, let's say something happened at a party and we don't know about some altercation or some jealousy or something, you know? Why would someone follow him to the point where he drove into a ditch, let him walk aimlessly for at least 47 minutes before then attacking him?
More than that, because he first called his parents. They searched for him. After like 20 or 30 minutes, he gave up and he was like, forget it, I'm walking to town. His dad dropped his mom off, and then the 47 minutes is what it sounds like.
What town, by the way, do we think that he saw?
He thinks he saw Lind.
Right, but judging that he was 25 miles, but what did he really see,
we think? We think Taunton, based on the map, okay. His car was found about a mile from Taunton.
But we know that he wasn't, like, that close to town when the phone dropped the call because he still was saying, like, I see the lights, not like, I'm in town.
Correct. And also, you know, although a cell phone pings exact location, they were able to use them to find his car, which means they were pretty darn close.
And weren't they able to ping the phone for several hours until it died?
I think they got the last ping, which is how they found the car.
But that doesn't make any sense.
All I can tell you is it says that they... Now, this is 2008, Amy. This is not like it's yesterday. They said that they were able to use his calls to his parents. And from there, they were able to determine where the car was. And they found it.
But he had made a conscious decision, and a vocal one. I'm going to walk towards town. I would think that the phone last pinged somewhere in between the car and the town.
Right, but you're in rural Minnesota. If there's only one cell phone tower, it's going to be the same cell phone tower. It's not like he had on Find My iPhone and the way you're able to say.
I get it. I think it's just, it bothers me. Okay.
I just don't understand how you look at that map. And you look at party number two, and he says, I left party number two, and even if I took back roads home, how then he thinks he's down where he said he was.
I think that either he could have been drunk, he could have been tired, he could have had another substance at some point, and he was all mixed up in the directions that he was going. Obviously, we know what happened. The car went in the ditch, called his parents. I think he really was walking towards the town, but I think that someone hit him. He hung up the phone just as a reflex, like, oh shit, a car's coming, click. You know, with every intention to call his dad back. And then someone panicked and was like, I am either under the influence myself or whatever. I have to get rid of this evidence. And that's what they did.
So, do you want to know something weird?
What's that?
I wrote that as my theory.
Really?
And that he got hit by a car and they were like, oh, crap, and they took him.
I have to say that I have a problem with every theory I've come up with. This one maybe could be explained away, but my only problem with that, and mind you, I'm settling on this theory, is that if he was hit by a car, I'm really surprised that there wasn't a scratch or blood or something. And
well, hang on.
A dog couldn't pick that up.
Hang on. If he walked for 40-something minutes, he could have been hit by a car in a field. And they would have searched it for a body, but I'm assuming they didn't search everywhere for... Like, he's on farmland.
Yeah, but a dog would go where the scent was.
Yeah, I don't know.
With that being said, though, I think that this is one of those cases where if you think too hard about it, you can come up with some wild theories. But when it comes down to...
So UFOs?
Right. When you come down to what's most plausible, it's that most of the time when people... School's done... It's summer. People are out that late. Unfortunately, a lot of accidents happen at that time because people are under the influence. Something very simple like that could have happened.
My parents used to tell me nothing good happens between midnight and 6 a.m.
And I
think that they're right. And when I was in college, I was like, that's the dumbest thing you ever could say. Now as an adult, I'm like, you're absolutely right.
Right. So there are Uber drivers out there doing their good deeds, and probably not in 2008. And there are people...
Not in probably rural Minnesota either.
Valid. And I think that there are people that have really off work hours, but when you look at the percentages, I think that you'd probably find, granted I didn't research it, guys, but I think that you'd find that a lot more people that are leaving friends' houses or parties or things like that are more common than someone changing shifts at the nursing home.
I agree 100%, and I think it's so weird that we both came up with the same theory without really talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a, oh, he walked away. Because here's the thing. They searched a ton. If he succumbed to the elements, I have the same issue that I've had with the other cases we've done. Rico Harris, Serenity Denard. Where, like, okay, let's say he got eaten by an animal. As crass as that sounds. Where are his keys and his cell phone and his shoes? A bear didn't eat his shoes, you know?
Agreed.
So I have the same challenges there. And if, you know, even if he was drunk, which I don't care if he doesn't deserve anything bad happened to him, but and stumbled his way into a ditch and passed out. And it did get down in the 30s that night and succumbed to hypothermia. Where's the body?
I feel like it would have either washed up, or with the amount of people that have searched, or the amount of people that have hiked or been on the road or biked or whatever, something would have come up in 13 years.
I agree 100%. So I hope that his family gets some sort of justice. Are you okay with wrapping it up here?
I really am, because I think that I feel pretty solid in that.
Yeah, I think the oh shit was not him falling. It was something happening.
Agreed, but not by someone who had it out for him.
Yeah, I agree with that statement, too. I think it was an accident. All right. Well, guys, tell us what you think. And for the two people that recommended this, Emily had recommended it a long time ago, and then Savvy just DM'd us on Instagram. And I really thought it was the Brandon Lawson case, because she was like, oh, he hung up on the phone and he's missing. And I was like, yeah, we covered that. And then I kept reading and I was like, wait a second.
Yes. So it goes to show that as much as we rely on our phones to track our location and to connect with other people, you can never be too safe. So look out for each other and look out for you.
100%, and have a great week, and we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.